The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah, the 11th chapter. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Lord, take down the heights and raise up the valleys. Lead us to true repentance, forgiveness, and new life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It was, maybe a month ago or so, we were having a little family gathering at our house, and children, grandchildren, and I was putting away a few things that had been washed, and there was a water bottle there that had been washed and dried, and kind of put the lid back on and noticed the straw was missing, which made the water bottle completely useless. So I thought about that, and I said, my wife must have done that, and probably shouldn't have said that out loud. A little bit later, I found the straw, and then I said, maybe I was wrong, to which my daughter-in-law quickly heard, and my wife quickly heard, looked at each other with raised eyebrows and smiles. Maybe I was wrong. It's very difficult for us at times to repent, to recognize wrongdoing on our part. In fact, it's one of the greatest problems of all humanity, the resistance to repentance, the resistance to wrongdoing. And that's really what I want to focus on tonight. It's an important Advent theme. As we think about the celebration of Christmas, the coming of God's Son into the world, our preparation, as we just sang in that beautiful hymn, is a preparation of repentance and forgiveness and faith. Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, "He who covers his sin will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find mercy." Advent is about God coming into this world, and it begins long ago when God came to Abraham, when God came to Moses and to David and to all of the prophets, and finally to John the Baptist, and sent him into the wilderness preaching that message of repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God has not given up on this fallen world, and even when it stubbornly refuses to repent, God still comes knocking on the door, tearing those things down that need to be torn down. He comes to save, as we learned in the gospel last Sunday, that we sing, "Hosanna, the Lord saves." And as Pastor Adel said in the sermon, we need to be saved from our enemies without, but above all, from that enemy of sin within. When I was in the last year of my training at the seminary, we lived on campus in a nice apartment there. We were very proud of this small freezer that my wife and I had. It was pretty special to us because we could bring meat up from her farm in Texas, and enjoyed, you know, having that little benefit there. But one day, she came to the freezer and found everything in it had thawed. And it wasn't broken at all. Somebody had actually just turned the freezer off. And we were babysitting a 3-year-old at that time. And so my wife asked this little boy, "Did you turn off that freezer?" And he just, without hesitation, said yes. Because that's what little kids do when they don't realize that something is wrong, or they don't realize the consequences to certain choices that they make. But as we grow older and as we begin to realize more fully what wrongdoing is, we begin to hide those wrongdoings. We begin to hide those sins from others around us. I've often said that in every family, in every marriage, there's 3 sentences that we must readily say to each other: "I love you," "I'm sorry," and "I forgive you." If you can't say, "I'm sorry," and if you can't say, "I forgive you," then you don't really mean it when you say, "I love you." It is hard for us sometimes, though, to admit that we are wrong. And sometimes as we cover up those sins, our hearts become hardened, spiritually fossilized, you might say, because we simply don't want to admit to any wrongdoing. Why is that? Why is it so hard to repent? The reason is because it hurts. It hurts for us to say that we've done something wrong, and we'll do anything to avoid that pain. We'll lie about it. We'll blame it on somebody else. We'll simply manipulate somebody by acting as though what we did never happened. We'll wait a few days. We'll come back, do something really nice to that person, and it'll all blow over. But that still doesn't take care of the sin. It still lies there. The reason it hurts and the reason we avoid repentance so much is because when we repent and that pain we feel in our hearts is really a little taste of hell. It's really a wrongdoing before God that is the problem here. And just as John warned about the chaff being thrown into the fire, so God warns us in many places that stubbornness and refusal to repent ultimately leads in complete separation from God. When we repent, though, of our sins, we feel that little burn in our hearts. And all of the New Testament and Old Testament teach us that it is better to feel that burn than to be stubborn and to resist all the way to the ultimate judgment of God and to the ultimate separation from Him in hell. There's another reason, though, why we sometimes have trouble repenting, and that is because we maybe haven't received or don't receive any forgiveness from other people. And we don't think or maybe understand or believe that we have forgiveness from God Himself. And that certainly would cause us to hide our sins, to be reluctant to repent. We don't want to uncover anything that's just going to expose us to nothing but shame and to guilt. You know, there are famous people sometimes who get caught doing bad things. Sometimes they just bitterly deny everything. Sometimes they blame it on other people. And sometimes they just shift the guilt by saying a sort of half-hearted false confession. Well, I'm sorry that whatever I did offended you, as though I did nothing wrong and you have the problem for thinking that I did. All of those are deflections of reality. But sometimes people who get caught and realize that they've done wrong are sorry about it. And sometimes those who are very popular and very well known by the world are then completely condemned by the world. They are never forgiven, and their sins are never forgotten by the world. You see, when people don't want to repent of their sins, they also don't want to forgive anyone else of their sins. God is the only one who can fix this problem, this reluctance we have to come to repentance and to seek forgiveness in God. And so God sent John the Baptizer for this very reason, to bring people to repentance. I titled the sermon this evening, John the Washer, because that's literally what the word baptize means. It means to wash away. And we can uncover our sins before God because we know that ultimately that's the reason He wants them to be exposed, so that they can indeed be washed away. Think about what happens when we wash something. Somebody has to take a hold of that dirt and take it away. When we leave a mess on the kitchen table after a meal, either mother or father or somebody, child, has to get a washcloth and rub that table and scrape up those crumbs and all of that mess. And sometimes they take it and shake it out in the trash can or rinse it out and flush it down the drain. But no matter what, somebody has to get their hands dirty in washing that table. Jesus is our ultimate washcloth of our souls. His life, His death on the cross, His shed blood for us is the trash can. It is the drain. And it is the way God takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the ultimate washer, and John pointed everyone to Him. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We too are washers ourselves as we seek forgiveness daily from the Lord. And as we also realize it's not our business to go around constantly shaming and condemning, because that only rubs the dirt around and makes a bigger mess of it. We call sin out, and people do need to be punished in some ways at some times to help them realize what they've done wrong, but we don't hold that guilt over them forever, just as God doesn't hold our guilt over our heads forever. I recently read a book by a wonderful lady by the name of Immaculée Ibibazinga. I highly recommend that book. Immaculée is a survivor of the 1994 Rwandan genocide. Her entire family was murdered, and she wrote a famous book. It's becoming more and more popular. The title of the book is Left to Tell. She and seven other women were rescued by a pastor, and for months they stayed huddled together in a little bathroom in his house. On a regular basis, roving mobs came with machetes looking for her and her friends to do them to death. But after a long period of time, finally they were rescued and they were saved. And Immaculée even was taken to meet the man who had murdered most of her family. And the guards were very rough with him, and she was shocked to see him because she actually knew the man, a kind of friend of their family in former years. But he was anything of the man that he had been. Once tall and handsome, now he was nothing more than a crust of a man, crushed by his guilt and his shame that he experienced from all sides and from God above. The guard roughly raised him up and made him explain to Immaculée what he had done to her family. And after he confessed what he had done, with tears streaming down her cheeks, Immaculée said, holding his hand, "I forgive you." The guard was shocked and asked, "How can you do that?" And she said these beautiful words, "Felicien," that was the man's name, "let the devil enter his heart, and the evil ruined his heart like cancer of the soul. He was now the victim of his victims, destined to live a life of torment and regret." I love those words, a victim of his victims. When we hurt people and refuse to repent of that, eventually all of those hurts come back to rest upon us, ourselves. Immaculée knew that the only thing that could overcome that problem was the forgiveness of evil, the forgiveness of sins in Christ. Christmas is coming. God is coming into the world again in our remembrance and in our celebration. Why did God come into the world at Christmas? The angel told Matthew, "You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." John came to wash us, to prepare us for Christ, for Christmas, and for his second coming again on the last day. Sin would separate us from God forever, but John came, the washer, to separate us from our sins so that we would never be separated from God. And finally, to help us say, "Maybe I was wrong." That's the best way to live your life. In Jesus' name, amen.